real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The first thing I want to talk about is abortion. And the Gardaí are investigating a report of criminal damage to a doctor's surgery in Longford after it was spray-painted with anti-abortion graffiti overnight. And the graffiti on the front of the premise is critical of the media, doctors and the government's abortion policy. Now, as you know, the country overwhelmingly voted in favour of repealing the Eighth Amendment last May. And since then, we have heard numerous anti-abortion protests across the country conducted by pro-lifers who simply refuse to accept that the Eighth Amendment has been repealed. Does the term enough is enough come to mind when we hear about these protests? I mean, we received a message today and it says, "Hi Niall and team, can you bring up the pro-life graffiti that was sprayed all over the doctor's centre in Longford over the weekend? As someone who has campaigned for the rights of the unborn child, I'm actually disgusted that someone would stoop this low to put graffiti on a surgery. We had a referendum and sadly we lost the war. I campaigned heavily before the referendum and it broke my heart that we lost. But that's just it. We had a referendum. The people spoke. The majority won. I'm sick of the other pro-life campaigners continuing to protest. What good can it achieve now? Only cause distress to women that are already obviously in a very fragile situation. I read today that the new figures show that 274 GPs and 10 hospitals have so far signed up to provide abortion services in Ireland. And I'm sure those numbers are only set to rise. Why are people still fighting to fight the fight, something that isn't going to go away? As a mother, I'm trying to get my head around the fact that I'm bringing up children in this country that gives the unborn zero rights. It was hard and a hard pill to swallow, knowing that Ireland voted in the yes in the abortion campaign, but I accept that is what democracy is about. Why can't others do the same? Now, I find that an interesting message. And tonight I want to know what you think. Do you agree with this message? Earlier today, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar slammed anti-abortion campaigners by tweeting, "We as a people voted overwhelmingly to provide safe and legal abortion in Ireland. Abortion is deeply private and personal, and no woman chooses to end her pregnancy lightly. No one should be coerced, intimidated or harassed when assessing or providing these services." So is our leader right? Is Leo Varadkar right? Some people might believe that these protests serve a purpose, while others believe they do nothing, only intimidate and harass women and their partners. Is it time that these protesters accepted that 66.4% of the country voted for abortion? Let me know what you think. And I want your ideas on this. I want you to text and WhatsApp on 0871880008. That's 0871880008. Do you think the war has lost? Is there any point to protests at all? Now, the Minister of Health, Simon Harris, has described practices by the US anti-abortion group as chilling, manipulative and disrespectful of the democracy process. This is the Sidewalk Advocates for Life, and they were the subject of an undercover investigation by the Times Ireland over a number of months ago. And the investigation revealed that the group was training people in Ireland to intercept women before they assess abortion services to talk them. The investigation revealed the group plans to get around new laws for exclusion zones or safe zones by approaching women in car parks. But joining me on the line is the Executive Director of Sidewalk Advocates for Life, and it's Lauren Muzcaya. And I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, Lauren, am I?
Hi, Niall. It's Lauren Muzcaya. Pleasure
Muzcaya,
to meet you.
I do apologize. That's actually easy to remember, Muzcaya. All right, I'm sorry, and I do apologize for that. Laura, explain to me what your campaign is about and what your group is about. I know you've been around in the US for quite a while, but we wouldn't be familiar, I suppose, with, the tactics. Would that be a fair word to use, that you use?
So what we do, Niall, is we actually go to abortion facilities and offer women compassionate, loving alternatives, nonviolent solutions to abortion. We currently do not have a presence in Ireland. We have a group that signed up for our services, our program, but they haven't been able to run it because they're so weighed down by the business of the Pregnancy Resource Center. So what I'm cautioning people in Ireland about is that these were sensationalist articles that came out from the Times Ireland, mm-hmm. Which unfortunately can mislead the Irish public. So We do not have plans to put people in front of abortion facilities in Ireland, but even if we were invited in to do so, everything that we do is peaceful, prayerful, and law-abiding, and we simply provide alternatives such as parenting and birth parenting and make sure women have
Minister
what they
for
need.
Health, so. Our Minister for Health here, Simon Harris, he would be the man responsible, I suppose, for overseeing health and abortion and everything in this country, basically said that your group was chilling, manipulative, and disrespectful of the democratic process. Do you accept that you're disrespectful of the democratic process? Because, as you know, we had a referendum last year in this country, and the population, those who voted, overwhelmingly voted in favor of abortion, 67%.
Yeah, so I actually invite the Prime Minister and the Health Minister in your country to get to know us, because things that were said in the news were wildly taken out of context. What we do is we actually engage in the democratic process, but even more so, it's not really about that for us. What it's about is going to where abortions are taking place and reaching out to women, inviting them into conversation and simply letting them know about their options. And
but how do you find them, Lauren? How do you find, I mean, when you look, you see, in America, it's slightly different, and the UK, where you have dedicated abortion clinics. In Ireland, that's not the case at the moment, because obviously we're new to it. It's going to happen in GP surgery, general practitioner surgery, where you will have other people with other ailments. It'll happen in maternity hospitals and hospitals in this country, where you will have women going in who may have had a miscarriage. You'll have other women who are going in with other problems as well. So how are you going to know who to target as such?
Well, I mean, really what it's about is here in the United States, it becomes well known where people are doing abortions. And so it's probably going to be no different at some point in Ireland. And so we'll go out to those places peacefully to reach out to women in crisis and let them know about their options of parenting or becoming a birth parent through the loving choice of adoption. Again, we're always going to respect the laws of the local jurisdiction. Everything that we do is law-abiding. Frankly, here in the United States, we're seen as boring because we're so peaceful, so law-abiding. But as I said, we don't have any plans to put sidewalk advocates in front of abortion facilities in Ireland. That was actually an inaccurate statement made by the Times Ireland.
So you're not going to stand there with placards, as we've seen some do already, you know, with "this is murder, down with this" sort of thing. It's not that kind of protest.
That's correct. We actually don't protest. What we do is go out to abortion facilities and have conversations with people very peacefully and within the confines of our legal rights. You know, I can't prevent a woman from having an abortion. We don't block access or anything like that. We don't believe that that's effective even. What we do is we go out to abortion facilities and invite people to have conversations with us, letting them know about the resources that are in their backyard. And a lot of these women don't know all of the community resources that are available to them should they want to
It's a big decision, isn't it, Lauren? I mean, when a girl gets herself into that situation, or a woman gets herself into that situation where she feels the need to have an abortion, it's not an overnight decision usually. It's something she thinks long and hard about and generally has her mind made up. And it's been said in the past that groups like your own and other groups, you know, I'm not talking about just necessarily your group, that basically what they do, it's kind of like almost emotional blackmail in some sense, or making them feel guilty about doing it.
Yeah, the good news is now we don't do that. The great news is what we do is we go out to abortion facilities and offer them love and support and resources. And it's the women that choose our services. I mean, if we, again, are all about choice, what are we so afraid of in giving women these choices? What are we so afraid of in giving them other options? What we actually find here in the States is that a lot of women don't realize the plethora of resources that are available to them in their communities. And so just by making those available, because we can agree on this, we don't want a woman to walk in there who says, well, I can't afford a child, so that's why I'm having this abortion.
But isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth, Lauren? I mean, it's all well and good you turn around and saying to a woman, well, look, there's other options here. You know, you can keep the child, you can put the child up for adoption. There's loads of other options for you. But if that woman can't afford it, and the reason that she may be going, you know, to have an abortion is for economical needs, or it's not the right time in her career, or whatever it happens to be, who's going to look after the baby? I mean, we did this 40 years ago in Ireland, where the Catholic Church, and I'm sure, Lauren, you're well aware of the history of Ireland in relation to what happened with the Catholic Church and mother and baby homes. I was born in a mother and baby home, by the way. We were, what the Catholic Church did, they encouraged women to go to these places to have their babies, the church would take the baby and sell them off to Americans, which was generally the case in this country. And what they did was ask these women to keep their babies. These women didn't actually get to keep the babies. They were giving them away. So are we not going back down that road where you're telling a woman to keep a baby, but she may not have the means or the time in her life to actually look after that child?
Well, but that's why we present all the choices to her and letting her know about those options. We have offered to walk with women as long as they want to walk with us. And we have done amazing things in our organization, like buy women double strollers for their twins, put in a new AC unit, link them up with a place to live, transportation, a new job. We are an organization that does it all. We say what we do. We stick by what we do. And we let people know who we are and that we are the type of organization that will never leave a woman high and dry. We never want a woman to feel like she needs to take the life of her child to have the life that she wants.
And what about rape? Yes. What about those cases that we talked about during the referendum, those kind of extreme cases of rape, fatal fetal abnormality? Is that different for your group? Would that be something different? I mean, if a woman has decided because mm-hmm. her baby is not going to have any quality of life and is not going to survive outside the womb, that she, you know, she needs to go and terminate that pregnancy. Some women will carry that baby the whole 9 months just to hold it for 5 minutes. I understand that. But there are women who can't go through that. Are you going to approach them?
Well, what we do is we make available the options to, again, to be a birth parent through the loving choice of adoption or to parent that child. You know, we do not believe that just because a child was conceived in rape, he is any less of a human than a child that was conceived in different circumstances. And we've listened to women over the years, and what they share with us is that quite often abortion compounded their pain. We've even had women tell us, we were actually surprised by this, women have told us that the abortion procedure felt like a second rape to them. That surprised us.
So they felt violated. They felt violated.
They felt violated once again. And then they felt like they turned around and were the aggressor towards their child. These are, if we're going to have an honest dialogue about this, we need to be hearing all of the voices in this debate. And we have painstakingly taken the time to talk to women who have had abortions, women who have chosen life, even people who have worked in the abortion industry. What is your experience? What are you seeing? And then being unafraid to share those experiences with other women who are facing unexpected pregnancies.
Yeah, but I mean, you didn't address what I said to you about fetal abnormality, which is one of the more sensitive parts of termination of pregnancy, where women choose obviously to terminate a pregnancy because the baby's not going to survive outside the womb. I mean, they're very sensitive situations, and I can't imagine, you know, anybody approaching a woman in that particular predicament who's made a decision and trying to coerce her into having a baby that's not going to survive.
So what we have found here in the United States is that 8 out of 10 couples that are presented with the option of perinatal hospice end up caring to term, because it's really hard. It's what we've heard, again, in listening to all of the voices with those who are facing a difficult prenatal diagnosis and then went on to terminate, is that it was harder for them to heal after that experience, because once again, you know, they had to turn over in their minds the idea that then they were the aggressor towards their child. And so, again, this is what we do, is we just make available the option of, for example, perinatal hospice. What it's like to carry a child to term, you know, being able to hold that child, look upon that child with dignity.
And that's fine if that's what you want to do. But what happened? I mean, we had this conversation before the referendum, and these were the cases that were called the red herrings at the time. These are the cases that were used. And that's all well and good if a woman wants to do that. And many women come onto this show and onto TV and talked about their experience of going and giving birth to that child and holding that child for an hour before the child died. And I understand that completely, that some women would want to do that. But there were other women who come on the air and told us that it was so difficult and traumatic being told that your child is not going to survive without having to go through a further 4 or 5 months pregnancy. And they have made a decision, this is not what I want to do.
So if you study women who have been through the issue of prenatal diagnosis, and I want to be careful to state that we don't know everything that they're going through. We know that that is a very difficult situation to be in, and they have our love and compassion. Again, 8 out of 10 couples that we have offered this option here in the States to carry to term and have the option of perinatal hospice or resources if their child might live for a while after birth. You know, we are giving these children and these parents the gift of time. And what parents in this situation have resoundingly said is that the diagnosis day was the worst day of that process, that it wasn't the birth of their child. They actually have peace because they let their child live, they celebrated that time with them, and they gave them a proper burial. And we need to give that voice a chance. And so this is what we do, is we go to abortion facilities and just make women aware that this is...
But you think they're not aware, Lauren? I mean, when you say we're making them aware that this is an alternative, I mean, for a rape victim, for somebody with fatal fetal abnormality, or for somebody for social reasons or economical reasons who's having, you know, an abortion, do you think that they're not aware that there's an alternative? Of course they're aware. I mean, the first text that I get in when you started talking, right, comes from a woman here, and she says, still treating women like they can't think for themselves. This is horrible. So, I mean, is that essentially what you're doing? You're saying that, you know, these women are not intelligent enough. They haven't researched it enough. I'm pretty sure they'll go to a doctor, get advice, because whether you know it or not, in this country, there will be a 72-hour cooling off period, which means they must go to the doctor. The doctor will present them with alternatives, present them with, you know, what's available to them. And 2 days later, they come back and they can have their abortion, right? So, they're given these options. They know that we can't treat women as being stupid.
I completely agree with you. And the good news is we are in agreement with that. Why are we so afraid to give women choices and options and information? Why are we so afraid to go outside of these facilities and say, you may not have known about this new resource in your backyard? And again, when whatever situation that we're dealing with, we have a good number of women who cry on our shoulder, who say, I didn't know about this new resource. I did my research, but I missed that there was this other healthcare resource in town. I didn't know that you were offering to walk with me through the length of my pregnancy. They don't want to do what they're doing, a lot of them there. They don't want to take the life of their child. They wish many times that someone had presented this information to them with women who have gone on to have abortions, right? And so here's the thing. We do trust women. That's why we go to these facilities, and we're unafraid to present them with other choices, other information. We never want a woman to walk into an abortion facility believing that the only option for her, I mean, this is the least empowering thing in the world, is to take the life of her child to get the life that she wants. That is
most women understand it's not the only option. I mean, they can have the baby if they want to. I mean, the idea that we're objecting, or that your group are objecting to Irish law. I mean, we had a referendum here 3 years ago where gay people could get married. It was called the Marriage Equality Referendum, which allowed gay people to get married in the eyes of the law. I didn't see anybody out protesting outside, you know, civic offices where people get married. There was no protests. You know, people have just got on with it. We accepted it was a democratic, there was the democratic voice of the people. You know, and I understand this particular one, I suppose, at the time it did cause a lot of consternation. But in saying that, we accept the democratic process. I think most people do. Obviously, there is the hardliners that don't accept it, but you're coming from a religious point of view as well.
Well, actually, we're coming from a human rights point of view.
You know, you are religious, aren't you? Don't deny that, Lauren. You are religious.
Well, of course. But even if I wasn't, we have a huge group of people here in the United States that are pro-life atheists, and they really hinge their beliefs on science. This is a human rights issue at its core. It joins people across all denominations,
different rights?
Religions, different walks of life.
What about women's rights?
I think we have to realize that just because something is codified in law does not mean that it's just. I mean, you know, in this country, we used to have slavery, one of the most unjust laws that we've ever seen in the United States. And that doesn't mean that it was right. And I'm glad that that law was ultimately overturned. We have to understand that we are dealing with the most vulnerable members of the human family, and with women in crisis. And a lot of times women just do not know, because maybe, again, it's a new resource. Maybe they missed something in their research. These women have freely chosen. Almost 6,000 women in our 4.5-year history, Niall, have freely chosen to accept our help on the sidewalk. These are just public, peaceful conversations. This whole idea, this is different. And I know that the Irish people are getting familiar with this. This is different. This is not protesting. Protesting is when you go yell and scream outside of something, or you might picket peacefully. I mean, there's a range of protest activities. This is not protesting.
And what would you do if there's exclusion zones? And Simon Harris, the Minister for Health, has already suggested that if this continues, that he will have to bring in legislation for exclusion zones around, you know, hospitals and clinics that provide abortion services.
So we are peaceful and law-abiding in all that we do. We always honor the laws of the local jurisdiction. And we do that so that we continue to win the trust of our community. I mean, here in the United States, frankly, we are seen as boring because we are so peaceful and so law-abiding.
But do you have buffer zones or exclusion zones around clinics?
We do in some jurisdictions, and we always abide by those.
So how do you do that? Well, how do you seek these women out if there's a buffer zone of, say, I don't know, half a mile from, you know, an abortion clinic or a hospital? How do you seek them out then?
Sure. Well, you can have conversations outside of buffer zones. People come up to us all the time to have a conversation. We invite them into conversation, and it's up to them. You know, it's their choice about whether or not they want to have a conversation with us. And so we let them know again about all the resources that are available. Everything that we do is peaceful and law-abiding.
I'm looking here. I just read out some of the texts, okay, for you. And June says, Niall, I've just tuned in, and I missed some of what that lady was saying. But this woman is outrageous. Nobody should be able to stand outside a clinic in a hospital. Yeah, right. It's not protesting. I believe her, says June in Kildare. Another person says here, hi, Niall. The Irish people voted to repeal the Eighth Amendment, not introduce one of the harshest abortion regimes in the world. That comes in from Robin Crumlin. Somebody else says, oh, my God. Well, she used a bit of language in there as well. Don't these people have nothing better to do? What about their own life to live? They are people that think that they know better than others. You know, is that fair comment that you're kind of invading into other people's personal lives and personal decisions?
I don't think offering people options is anything but a wonderful thing to do for women in our community. You know, here in the United States, we celebrate free speech. We celebrate these conversations that take place in public forums all the time. And so I don't know what we're so afraid of. Mm-hmm. And I understand that the Irish public is still getting acquainted with what peaceful pro-life activism looks like. And here in the United States, it's well understood that if you go to an abortion facility and you're just reaching out, that's a form of advocacy, not protest. We do not protest.
Lauren, you have to understand, in Ireland, there's a huge history around the abortion referendum, whereby for 20 years, a whole generation of women didn't get an opportunity to vote in a referendum for abortion. So this conversation and debate has been happening for 25 years. So there was a huge appetite for that particular referendum. That referendum was probably one of the most popular referendums we've ever had in this country because everybody was interested in the debate. But in saying that, you said that since you've started, you believe the abortion rate in America has dropped. But I mean, the abortion rate, I imagine, drops particularly when they introduce in many states in America free contraception. I'm sure that helped the abortion rate to drop as well.
Well, what we've seen is that when there is an uptick in peaceful prayer and peaceful outreach, that because so many women were thrilled that we were there to give them an alternative, a lot of them do accept our help. And there's no doubt that that affects the abortion rate in a country. And again, these are women who freely chose our help. We're so thrilled that we were there. They send us pictures of their children. We're celebrating milestones with them. We're part of their families, Niall. It's just so wonderful to see women empowered, knowing that because they had these resources, which they freely chose, they're just so thrilled to have us as part of their family, and we're thrilled to have them as part of our family. And so this is what we're about, is women helping women, the men on our team serving women, letting them know about choices and options, and really showing them, you know, what a path forward as a parent looks like, what a path forward might look like as a birth parent choosing adoption. Again, if we trust women, I don't know what the threat is. This is very just simple information.
I could equally say to you, Lauren, if we trust women, I don't know why we're protesting in the first place, because if we trust women, we trust them to make the right decisions. But in saying that, when are you planning to start in Ireland, or when are you planning on, according to the article in the paper, to train people in Ireland in your practices?
Yes. So that was taken out of context. We actually do not have any plans to train in Ireland currently.
Right.
So I don't know.
So,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Where did it come from then? Where did the idea of you guys being in Ireland come from? Where did this story come from?
Sure. So we had a staff member who said that we would love, and this is true, we'd love peaceful people to be out in front of every abortion facility around the world. But that doesn't mean that we actually have plans to do so in Ireland. So it really is kind of a sensationalist statement to say that we've got plans to set up, you know, sidewalk advocates in front of every abortion center in Ireland. Is frankly, it's kind of silly. Now, if people in local communities in Ireland want to invite us in, we're absolutely open to doing that, because everything that we do is peaceful and law-abiding. The communities love us because we are so peaceful. In fact, we here in the United States have encouraged people who go out to abortion facilities, and they're ugly and they're yelling and they're doing things that just really are not helping women. We actually encourage them to stop doing those things. We are boring here in the U.S. We just love the beauty of going out to an abortion facility and reaching out to a woman who has tears in her eyes and says, I'm so glad that you were here. I didn't want to do it anyway. Again, if we trust women, if we want to give them the best options possible, what are we so afraid of?
Well, listen, thank you very much indeed for coming on the show. Executive Director of Sidewalk Advocates for Life, Lauren Musica. Thank you very much indeed. And I appreciate you coming on the show. All right. I want to throw it out to you as well. You can text us at 087-188-0008 or WhatsApp us. As this message said to us earlier on that we got in, you know, and this is from somebody who is pro-life. They said, look, you know, I campaigned, I did the whole lot, I was out there. Yeah, I was distraught just like anybody else that we lost, but we lost and we lost. It's a democratic vote. Get over it. Why can't everybody just swallow the bitter pill and stop? It's there, it's done. It's not going to change. It's not going to turn around tomorrow. Nothing is going to change. It's there. So why can't we just get over it? When we had marriage equality, again, same result, 67%. So assuming that, you know, roughly 33% of the population were against gay people getting married, but I don't see hordes of people protesting outside, you know, registry offices or whatever it happens to be when gay men are getting married. We don't do it because we accept democracy. So why can't we just accept democracy now? Let me know what you think. Luke Silk is an anti... Luke Silk is an anti... is a part of an anti-abortion campaign. Luke, you there?
How are you, Niall?
You've listened to what Lauren said. Their approach is somewhat different. It's probably more religious and peaceful than some of the approaches I've seen recently of people holding banners saying this is murder. You know, I mean, do you like her approach?
Well, you know, one thing I'd say, Niall, is I would never judge... her approach based on something that I've seen from an article by Ellen Coyne, you know what I mean? I do think that Ellen Coyne can be one-sided, and I imagine she is a pro-choice campaigner herself. So I wouldn't take that article, or to be more accurate, all 8 articles that were published in that newspaper this morning on this issue.
You've heard Lauren deny that this article that was in the newspaper. Firstly, she said, look, they have no plan to come to Ireland. They don't know where they got that story, apart from the fact that they said, look, we would quite happily come if somebody offered to bring us over. And they also said that, well, she claims they don't manipulate, they don't disrespect the democratic process, mm-hmm. and they don't campaign in the way it was suggested in the paper, and they don't train people. It said in the paper, the investigation revealed the group was training people in Ireland to intercept women,
and she said
that's not true, Ireland either. Mm-hmm. Okay, but in saying that, you know, I have kind of this vision, because they're quite religious, of people standing around with rosary beads. I don't know if that's that's the kind of the way they do protest. It seems quite peaceful, anyway. But I mean, Luke, the argument that it's done, you know, it's over. And look, you've been on this show many times. We've given you lots of airtime in relation to it, particularly before abortion and after the abortion, before the legislation came in. But it's done now, Luke. The legislation is in. The democratic process happened. It's over. Whether you like it, it's kind of irrelevant now.
Yeah, it is. It is. The legislation aspect of it is over, Niall. But, I mean, there are still lives. Abortion ends the lives of babies, and that is something that I just see as deeply unjust, and I will be doing something about it. And I thought it was very interesting as well. I don't know if you saw it. A survey emerged during the week. It was a survey by the Irish Medical Council, and it was about updating their guidelines. So they were changing the wording of different parts in it. And one part of it was, you know, the current wording was that you shall not deliberately kill a patient. And they're changing the word deliberate to unlawfully. So now it would be, you know, you cannot unlawfully kill a patient. Mm-hmm. But you can, because of the law change, you can lawfully kill a patient. And that's the reality of it. And I just think that's very stark, you know, when you look at it that way.
Think
that's
probably,
not my language.
I understand the point you're making, but they probably didn't really have to do that, because realistically, once we repealed the Eighth Amendment, that baby didn't have the rights as a citizen of the country anyway.
Yeah,
so,
it was a patient, you know what I mean?
It wouldn't be classed as a patient if the unborn child, according to our constitution, doesn't have any rights. Mm. So, I mean, really, it wouldn't be classed as a patient, so they probably didn't even need to do that. But in saying, I think what's happening is now, and I'm not having a go at you personally, Luke, because I've spoken to you mm-hmm. many times, but I think you're being pedantic. You know, I mean, what difference does it make? It's not going to change anything. Okay, if they left that word in there, what difference would it make? You know, it's not going to change. Do you accept that you now live in a country where abortion is freely available up to 12 weeks and up to 22 weeks in certain circumstances? Do you accept that?
Yes, that's a reality. Yeah, of course I do. That's just
so. What's the point in protesting? All that's going to happen is you're going to upset people, women who've made that choice. Some women ad hoc have made that choice. I'll give you that. But there are some women who have made very serious emotional decisions to make that choice.
Indeed. And as I've said on your show before, Niall, I don't approve of protesting. I would approve of sidewalk counselling and offering women different supports. But there are questions, Niall, that still need to be answered. And one of them is, you know, I was listening to News Talk earlier in the day. And, I mean, I must thank you, Niall, for the way that you've approached this story, because you've taken the person upon whom the undercover sting operation was perpetrated. You've gotten their side of the story. And Ciara Kelly on News Talk this afternoon, she interviewed one of the journalists who'd uncovered the story, Katie O'Neill, and she also uncovered, she also interviewed pro-choice campaigner, exclusion zone campaigner Louise O'Reilly. And I think, you know, at this stage, it's not rare in this country for a pro-choice radio presenter to invite two pro-choice campaigners onto her show and exclude pro-life voices entirely from the discussion.
That's entirely your decision if you want to have, or, you know, your say in that matter. And I'm sure you could write to them if you weren't happy with it, as people write to us all the time when they're not happy with something. So, I mean, you're quite entitled to that. And I know, I understand the point you're making.
Yeah, Niall, it's also very shocking. I suppose it's not really shocking this day and age to learn that the Times Ireland edition does, in fact, have a pro-choice agenda. And I'm sure.
Well, that's,
you know,
well, you. Well, that's your belief. But they would their argument is they would have a modern agenda, that they want to appeal to the masses. And if they want to appeal to the masses, which is 67% of the voting population, 67% of the voting population and their readers agree with abortion. So they're appealing to their readers.
No, but Niall, it's not my opinion. And I'm going to quote the editor of the newspaper, Mr. Richard Oakley. He said on Twitter recently, "The record clearly shows the paper I edit spent a lot of time on this issue and adopted a clear position which was separately supported by a sizable majority of the voting public." That's the editor of a newspaper.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, and the Times on numerous occasions have had articles in there by other campaigners, particularly before the referendum, who would have been pro-life. So,
yes,
I mean,
but
the point is now that...
That's his word.
Yeah, but they don't have to not take a position. That, you know, the democratic process is over. The same way as if I want to do a show today all about pro-choice and how wonderful it is, I'm quite entitled to do it. Because the referendum is not happening. I'm not going to affect anybody's decision who's going to vote. So there would be no reason for complaint. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we have a referendum, I'm sure people know, but, you know, when you work on radio... When you have a referendum, the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland will send me out a letter 30 days before a referendum, well, usually about 37 days before a referendum. And they will tell you that 30 days coming up to a referendum, you must be reasonably balanced. Now, you don't have to stopwatch it, right? In the old days, you used to literally have to have a clock in the studio and give equal time to both sides. But you don't have to do that anymore because they know that's reasonable. That's probably
so do you think
impossible.
That would be fair now to you know... expect maybe 66% of articles to be pro-choice.
Let me give an example. We're now 35 minutes into this topic, and I've had two people on who are pro-life.
Indeed.
So I could have somebody who's pro-choice sitting at home going, Jesus, Niall Boylan, that's not a bit fair. You're kind of clearly agenda-driven. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong, I've challenged you, and I've challenged Lauren in her views, which I'm quite entitled to do as well. So do you understand what I'm saying? So you could say there was an agenda there too. So, let me get back to the point.
You're the exception, Niall, in fairness. You're the only fair journalist that I can think of. Really.
Oh, well, I'll accept that as a compliment. Okay, but the point I'm trying to make to you is we got a message in today from somebody who said they were pro-life, said they campaigned during the whole thing, were bitterly disappointed with the result, but they said they have to accept it. Now, they were talking about, of course, the graffiti in Longford of the doctor's surgery, which I think is unacceptable.
Which I oppose.
Yeah, I think that's unacceptable in all circumstances.
Yeah.
But in saying that, you know, they said, why can't people like her, you know, just accept it? And her final words was in this email, "It's a hard pill to swallow knowing that Ireland voted for abortion, but I accept that is what democracy is. Why can't others do the same?"
Yeah, I do accept it, but I will campaign against it. I mean,
but what's the point?
Abortion is now, sorry?
What's the point in campaigning against it? Nothing's going
to save lives.
But you're wasting your time. It's not going to change, Luke.
I firmly believe that it is my generation who will change this around and once again restore a pro-life culture in this country.
Well, you can only do that by legislation. It'll never be put back into the Constitution.
Well, maybe so, but it may well be done in legislation and we may well get some pro-life amendments in the
years. So you're hoping for a very conservative government over the next 10 years or so?
Well, no, not conservative. I wouldn't necessarily stereotype the pro-life movement as conservative.
Stop.
I'm actually quite left-leaning myself. But Yeah, one thing as well, Niall, that I found ironic was that the Irish Family Planning Association have been tweeting in relation to this story about a need for legislation to protect women from dangerous organisations who might offer them alternatives to abortion. And, you know, those words, they struck me as a little rich coming from the IFPA, given that a few years ago, an investigation and undercover work by the Irish Independent, I believe it was, revealed that women were told by the IFPA to hide their abortions from their doctors, a course of action that would endanger life. And the professor, Sam Coulter-Smith, who was at the time the master of the Rotunda Hospital, he revealed that he was, quote, aware of cases where women have died because they didn't tell doctors that they had termination, which caused their womb to perforate.
And I can understand the reason probably why, because we lived in a country where there was an atmosphere of shame around the fact that people had abortions. So women were quite shamed by the fact that they had abortions. But do me a favour, stay there for a second. I want to go to Catherine as well. Catherine, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Catherine?
Hi, Niall. How's it going?
Catherine, you've never agreed with protests.
Never, ever, and I still don't to this day.
And are you pro-choice or are you pro-life?
I voted yes in the amendment to appeal the amendment. I absolutely voted yes. Can I just add there now, my beautiful granddaughter was born on the 24th of May and I went out on the 25th of May and voted yes so that she would have options in her life coming up. Mm-hmm. But before any of that, I think it's every woman's right without anyone interfering in that person's opinion, their choice, whatever, to just go out there, do their own thing, and leave the public and everybody else mind their own blooming business. I'm appalled that there was a protest and that Longford surgery was
spray painted with graffiti.
Spray painted,
yeah.
Absolutely. It is nobody's business. It's absolutely nobody's business what somebody chooses to do. If I choose to go out in the morning and take something, like an e-tablet or a drug or something, that's nobody's business but mine. It's nobody's business what a person chooses to do in their life, male or female, aside from abortion. It's nobody's business.
Well, I mean, Luke, that's a fair point, you know, in some sense that it's nobody's business, although I know pro-life will argue that there is two people involved, the unborn child as well. But Luke, you mentioned you were left-leaning as well. In the previous referendum, 2 years ago, or 2.5 years ago now, did you vote yes or no in favour of marriage equality?
I actually didn't vote. I'm too young to vote.
Okay, well, if you had the opportunity. If you had the opportunity.
If I had the opportunity to vote, to be frank, I don't really know. I don't really know how I would have voted.
Well, okay, well, that's not a yes, is it?
Well, at the time, I would have been honest with you now, Niall. At the time, I would have been leaning towards a no. But I suppose
the
fear-mongering stuff that I saw during the campaign didn't happen afterwards.
Why? Okay, well, hang on for a second, Catherine, if you can. Let's just say, for argument's sake, you're not in favour of it, okay? And that's your opinion, and you're quite entitled to that, all right? But do you stand outside registry offices?
No, absolutely not.
Have you seen anybody standing outside a registry office where gay men are getting married? I haven't.
No, I haven't. No.
So people accepted the democratic process.
It is quite a different
I don't know, by the way, how you said you were liberal. You told me a few minutes ago you were left-leaning. You're hardly left-leaning if you're considering voting no in the marriage equality referendum and also the abortion referendum.
Both options, and I was never going to vote, so I was just taking
you're hardly liberal, Luke, are you?
Well, I am pretty left-leaning on many issues like immigration and lots of different issues, social housing, travellers' rights, lots of there are lots of issues that I'm on the left side.
Okay, but you didn't protest outside registry offices for when gay people were getting married, even though you don't necessarily agree with it. But sorry, Catherine, you wanted to say something? Sorry.
Yeah, I just want to know. Luke said he wasn't old enough. Was he old enough to vote for the appeal the Eighth Amendment?
He was. Yeah.
Yes, indeed, I was.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I just wanted to know there, but you know,
he's part of a student organisation, Catherine, and many of them. He represents many people in that organisation who voted no.
Okay.
And yes,
they're against certain aspects of it, some of them.
Well, look, I just feel my bottom line here is we had a referendum. We voted in favour of it as a country, and it went ahead. And I don't know why people are protesting now. I mean, if a woman, and it would be a very hard choice for a woman, and I understand that, to have an abortion, but nobody knows that particular circumstances. Nobody knows what's going through that person's mind. And none of us should stand in judgment.
That well, no, I don't think, I don't believe anyone should stand in judgment. But to stand and offer support and offer help. And I think,
Are you not to a degree?
No. No, I'm not.
I think you are.
No, I'm not. Absolutely not. And I think, Catherine,
Yes, sorry.
It was just a very interesting comparison there that you made earlier on when you talked about, you know, if it was your choice to go out and do drugs or that type of thing.
I understand.
I completely understand. But if that was the case, if you were doing something which I believed could have a negative effect on your health or your mental health or could harm you in some way, I would want to help you. I would want to reach out and offer you support and offer you help. And that's the same thing that motivates me in this debate.
Okay, well, stay there for a second if you can, Luke. And stay there, please, Catherine. Let me just go to Anya on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Anya?
Hi, it's Niall. Thanks a million for having me on.
Anya, you've been listening to the different, you know, I mean, Catherine doesn't agree with protesting generally, you know, but she does obviously agree with abortion. Luke agrees with protesting, but not in the sense of spraying graffiti all over buildings and also not praying it. But, I mean, do you agree with these protests?
I think, Niall, to be honest with you, I am a woman who had crisis pregnancy. And I was actually one of the ladies who was on the Pat Kenny show during the referendum. Sat in the red coat, and I was there to talk about my own mental health story in pregnancy.
Right, okay.
And
when you say you had a crisis pregnancy, what were you, young, single?
Okay, so number one, I was 23, and yeah. Myself and my husband had just bought our house, so I got let go. My mum was diagnosed with cancer, and I also had a young relative in my care. So as you can imagine, it wasn't a good time. It was very hard, and then it wasn't just that pregnancy. I suffer with my mental health in pregnancy in general. For some reason, whatever happens to me in pregnancy, I'm not in my own state of mind.
Okay.
And there are many women who are exactly like me who were not given a voice throughout the referendum. And like to hear people say that, you know, oh, you shouldn't have people protesting. Any protesting that is done that I have seen, okay, I know there's extremists on both sides. The ones that I see who are offering care and support, you know, for a woman like me, if I had have had that support when I was pregnant, I would have been so grateful. You know, like I almost took my life when I was pregnant on my son. And everyone acknowledges that women do have crisis pregnancies. And the only offer our government is offering to women who are like me, exactly like me, is abortion. And I am a woman who has many friends who've had abortion. And I suppose when you're involved in the pro-life community and you become quite active, you get to hear these stories firsthand and how abortion has went on to affect women. For instance, when I was 16, Niall, my friend had an abortion. And the reason why she went to have an abortion was because she was terrified of telling her mother that she was pregnant for the guy that she was with at the time. And it wasn't until a few years later that her suicide attempt start coming. Do you know that kind of way?
I mean, you're arguing that you would have loved the support and you would have loved, you know, that information, yeah, and that bit of help. And, you know, and that was your choice, by the way, to continue with the pregnancy, right? As others didn't continue. But, I mean, the whole referendum and campaign was about the word choice, wasn't it? And everybody having choice. And the point Catherine is making is,
okay,
she's not necessarily saying she, agrees. And by the way, can I just say, I don't think anybody believes abortion is morally right. I don't believe anybody agrees that, but sometimes in a crisis situation, women make those choices on you.
Okay, of course they do, and many of them go on to regret. As a matter of fact, the evidence supports that you're 6 times more likely to attempt suicide. The risk of suicide goes up by 6 when you do have an abortion. And those are the things that people aren't talking about. It's like, you know, we're talking about an opinion. Like, you even brought the gay marriage thing into it. Like, do you know, being a gay married man or woman, whatever, that isn't going to kill anybody. I'm sorry. But
No, I understand. The only point I was making in relation to that was that we accept the democratic process. That's all I'm saying. And there are people, by the way, who are adamantly against gay marriage, but they didn't stand outside registry office protesting. So the point I was making is we accepted democracy. I mean, do you accept democracy, Anya?
I'll tell you one thing, Niall. I don't think that someone's life should be a matter of opinion for anybody. And it's a scientific fact that life begins at conception. So the unborn baby is a life unique to the mothers. It's separate, has 50% of the time it's a different sex. You know, and I know when I was pregnant, so my little girl at 9 weeks, I had hyperemesis as well as having everything else, you know. But anyway, when I was 9 weeks pregnant, I went in with hyperemesis and I could not believe the movement of my child on that screen. That wasn't me. She was a separate person to me from then. And for people to, you know, women have crisis pregnancies. Of course they do. And there are terrible things that happen when women are pregnant. And, you know, the difference between offering love and support as opposed to saying, right, here's your option. And don't forget, there's wonderful...
But can we not offer options? Can we not say we can offer love and support if you're going through a crisis pregnancy and you're thinking about an abortion? Look, here's an alternative for you. But look, if you do want, if you're not happy with those alternatives, or you don't believe that's right for you, or you don't believe you can get through the mental health problem of that, well, there is an alternative for you. You can have an abortion.
The alternative is death, though. It means the death of a child. And no matter what anybody says, Niall, you cannot change that.
You can't change it. I can't change it. But there are people out there who believe that it's not the death of a child, it's the end of a pregnancy. So they don't think of it the same way as you do.
That's not a matter of opinion. Sorry, yeah. Luke, I'm speaking. Sorry. That is not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of scientific fact. And no matter what... People can say that women will never regret blah, blah. Some of the most extreme pro-choice people that I know are angry women who have had abortions. And some of them...
But when you say it's not a matter of opinions, are we suggesting that 67% of the voters of this country advocated murder? You know what I mean? I mean, really, they obviously didn't, because those people who voted yes don't believe it's murder.
They don't believe in the humanity of the unborn. Like, I spoke to a friend of mine the other day who also voted yes because she wanted to give her 16-year-old niece the option. And
That's what Catherine said, yes.
If any, it's the same as Catherine saying that here. But at the end of the day, like...
Yeah, can I say something now?
Let me just go to... sorry, Catherine, you wanted to say something there before the break.
Yeah, I did. Firstly, I'm very sympathetic to Anya's case. Mm-hmm. But let me just tell you a small, quick story in relation to all of this. Back in 1987-88, we were all doing our leaving cert. One of my friends became pregnant and went home, told her parents. No, they weren't happy at the time, but she went through with it. And she sat her leaving cert in the maternity hospital here in Limerick. Mm-hmm. And she will never look back because she's happy. She had her daughter. She went against everybody's opinion at the time.
Yeah.
And she went ahead, went on to marry her husband, and they now have 4 or 5 kids. And she couldn't be happier. Secondly, there was another girl who found herself in the same predicament, couldn't go home and tell her parents, and went to her doctor. And she was referred to, at the time, the Well Woman Centre in Dublin,
yep,
because that's the only place you'd get information. And so she went there. She went to England, and she had an abortion. And thirdly...
And how is she now?
No, that's the whole problem. That girl isn't faring too well because of the circumstances of the time. I'm talking about 1987 now.
So are you saying she has regrets?
She has. Big regrets. Now, there is another girl then that I knew that went on and had her baby adopted. And she has absolutely no regrets because she said she gave a family a child that...
For somebody who voted yes in the referendum, you're giving me 3 reasons there why you should have voted no.
No.
Well, you just have, because basically, according to your story, the one that fared off the worst there was the girl that had the abortion.
Exactly.
Because it kind of contradicts the fact that you agree with us, but go on.
No, let me finish. The reason she has regrets is because she was, back in the 80s, she was given no choice. Had she been given a choice, she may not have had an abortion.
And when you say she was given no choice, she did have a choice. She could have the baby.
Yeah, but she couldn't. How could she hide a pregnancy?
Well, she didn't have
from her parents. Where would she go? Well, what would she do?
Okay, I understand, but that was... But that issue is not going to go away, because there are still parents out there who would be quite disgusted if their 17 or 18-year-old daughter got pregnant. So that issue doesn't go away.
Get over it, Niall, wouldn't they?
I agree with you, but I'm saying to you, because our parents didn't agree is not an issue of the 80s. It's still an issue now for some parents.
No, I disagree with you.
Okay, but sorry, Luke, you wanted to say something there. Go ahead.
Just on that point, Niall, I think that kind of shitty stigma is still there in Ireland, particularly in rural Ireland.
No,
and we do something about that. It is.
Luke, with the greatest respect, there is a shitty stigma to getting pregnant when you're 16 or 17 years of age.
Well, I think there still is.
I understand why the stigma is there, because parents, when they're raising a young daughter, the last thing they want to see is them getting pregnant at 16 or 17, because they're disappointed to the point that they believe this could change their lives. And they're going to go for a career and everything else.
A situation where a girl is afraid to tell her parents that she is pregnant, that situation is just not acceptable in my books.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If my daughter came home, she's 17 years of age. If my daughter came home and told me she was pregnant, I'd be extremely disappointed as a father that she was pregnant at 17 years of age. Absolutely.
But you believe that she was
pregnant? But I would support her. I wouldn't chuck her out of the house or anything like that.
Yeah. No, but that's because you know what it is to be a parent and how your life changes.
But I'd be lying to you, Luke and Anya, if I said I wouldn't be disappointed. Of course I'd be disappointed. Well, I'd hardly congratulate her.
Niall, yeah. It's not just about being disappointed. The fact of the matter that people just keep skipping over is, number one, right, crisis does not last forever. Abortion is absolutely permanent. You cannot undo abortion.
I understand that.
And I have seen firsthand friends of mine who have attempted suicide, not once, but twice, and I have seen friends who have gone through severe panic attacks years later after having their abortion. And I feel, if you look back on Ireland's history of dropping women off to the Magdalen laundries, shame on you for getting pregnant. That was the attitude.
No, I'm not suggesting it's a shame, but certainly it's a disappointment when a young girl gets pregnant, isn't it?
I'm not.
There's no reason for it.
That's what you're saying. Sorry, yeah. I'm not suggesting that. That's what you're saying. I'm just. I'm just trying to make you see.
No, I understand. I understand the point you're making. Yeah.
Back then, it was drop the daughters off at the Magdalen laundries, sweep it under the carpet, and it was a terrible thing. And the way women were treated back then, and even now, for me, abortion, to offer a woman in crisis abortion as a means of support, to say you can't afford this baby, you're not fit enough to be that mother, your mental health isn't right. And here's your options.
But that's not the only reasons, Anya. Sometimes you might have a young girl who's gone through college to maybe, I don't know, learn to be a teacher or something like that.
Okay.
And it's not the right time in her life. She doesn't want a baby.
Oh, okay. The right time and the right... the thing is, Niall, when we have sex, and I'm sorry, but this is the hardcore truth of it. When we have sex, we know that it's the possibility to become pregnant, no matter what contraception you use. Okay, no matter what contraception. And when we say, okay, the option is abortion, and at that, the taxpayer paying for it as well, you are basically saying to somebody, you don't have to be responsible for the actions that you take. Now, women do have crisis pregnancies. I was one of them, so I'm not standing up here on a pedestal. I literally have had terrible pregnancies. I've had eye surgery in pregnancy. I have had pregnancy. I could write a book on my pregnancy, put it that way. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, no matter what, there is always the chance that a woman will always look back on her life and regret her abortion, and it will affect her.
Okay, well, hang on for a second. Let me just bring in Joanna as well. I want to bring Joanna in. Joanna, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Joanna?
Hi, Niall.
Hi, Joanna. You've been listening to... Well, you listened to Lauren at the start of the show, obviously,
yeah.
And you've listened to Anya, who are all pro-life, and kind of more or less saying the fight is not over. It's worth continuing this campaign and objection to abortion in Ireland.
It's always the same narrative. Women are not well informed. Maybe they don't know that they have another choice. Because for me, abortion was not right or is not right. So for other women, is not, and they should have another choice.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, how long have we going to keep with this narrative, like women don't know what is best for their own life, for their own circumstance? Women don't decide to have an abortion on a glimpse. They think about it. Most women don't regret it. And it's like
that's
anything
not
else.
True.
If
that's
you
actually,
don't.
That's actually not true.
If you don't.
Well, I've in fairness, Anya, I've spoken to many women on the air before in the campaign during the referendum, and we spoke to many women who had abortions. Many of them didn't regret it. Some did, but many of them didn't.
But if you actually go onto the UK abortion stats, like I think it's 55% of women say they wouldn't have had an abortion in the first place had they had the support of their partners. Now, I could be a little tiny bit off.
That doesn't mean they regret the abortion. That just means they regret having to make that decision.
Well, you see,
the two are not the same. Regretting making the decision to have an abortion, regretting having the abortion are two completely different things. You know, regretting having the abortion could...
Both of them ended up with a dead child, Niall.
Okay. We'll let Joanna finish. Sorry, go ahead.
You should be able to do what is best for your life. For your life, maybe an abortion is not something you would consider. You think maybe adoption is better. Great! Do that for yourself. But don't pretend you know what it's best for someone else. Don't keep with the same talk that, women don't know. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they need someone to be
Joanna
there
before
the hospital or the clinic. They need the support from someone they don't know. No, they don't need any of that. They need to be left alone and do their own decision.
Hang on, Joanna. I want to say something to you. Hang on, sorry.
Joanna, abortion is actually exactly what you are preaching against, because that is actually somebody who is deciding what is best for someone else's life, and it's actually ending that person's life. So that is a very hypocritical statement for you to make. And the fact is, as a woman who suffered with my mental health in pregnancy, let me tell you something. Women who are in crisis pregnancy, half of the time, they don't know their own mind. As a matter of fact...
Yes, they do. Do you pretend to think...
That was your circumstance, Anya. It might have been everybody's experience.
Okay, but I could give you other circumstances. You could talk about the coercion that happens as well. There are women who are
coerced by their partners to have an abortion, coerced by their parents to have an abortion. Yeah, sorry, Luke, you wanted to say something to Joanna there, I understand.
That she used the word, you know, that they should be left alone. Yeah. I don't think any woman should be left alone. I think that, and that's what I think, the radio saying.
Yeah, I don't think she meant that literally. I think she meant left alone to make their own decisions.
Yeah, but Niall, could we get back to just,
to
you talk there.
And lecture them on how they should live their lives and make their own decisions. They can think for themselves.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Luke.
Yeah, I just wanted to say there, you know, when you were talking about stigma, and it's something that you mentioned earlier, Niall, about perhaps it was to do with the stigma, the reason that the Irish Family Planning Association told the women not to tell their doctor that they had an abortion. And then, of course, the professor, Sam Coulter-Smith, came out and said that he was aware of cases where women had died because they didn't tell the doctors. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty scandalous. But what shocked me this morning is I Googled, I forget the words I Googled this morning, it was something like Irish anti-abortion group, and there were, I set the Google search engine to return results that were published in the past 24 hours, and I got 100 results. And then I searched for Irish Family Planning Association scandal, and I found one article from 2012 in the Irish Independent, and I just found that very worrying, and even more worrying that as recently as December, the Minister for Health was praising, he was full of praise in the Dáil, December the 5th, and he never addressed the issue of the IFPA counselling practices that led to a Department of Public Prosecution investigation some years ago, and it remains a scandal that Minister Harris will not condemn the IFPA for their outrageous counselling practices.
Okay, Joanna, in relation to protesters then, people who are still campaigning, I suppose, in a sense, I suppose, like Anya, like Luke, who, you know, still publicly want to condemn, you know, the practice of abortion.
Sorry, Niall, it's not condemning women. Can I?
No, I didn't say that. I said condemning the practice. Hang on. I didn't say condemning women. I said condemning the practice of abortion. Let Joanna just answer the question. Joanna, you know, are they fighting a losing battle? Should they stop?
I think they should mind their own business and leave other people's decisions alone. 60-something% of Ireland decided for abortion. Why can't these people accept democracy? Why can't these people leave other people.
Well, I think...
alone. It's not their business.
Well, could you imagine if we took that attitude when slavery was going on? You know, why can't we just let people decide for themselves whether they have slaves or not? Hmm?
I don't think it's a fair analogy, in fairness, Sonia. It's a completely different situation.
But I think
you're comparing a grown adult and a grown human being to an unborn child, and there's always been an argument, among scientists and among the moral protectors of society as to whether it's a person or a group
there's
of
no
cells. There's no argument as to whether an adult African during the times of slavery was an adult. There was no argument about that.
But it doesn't matter whether it's an adult, it's a life. The unborn child is a life. Like, that's science. That's not my opinion. Sorry, Joanna,
opinion.
I'm speaking. That is not my opinion. That is a scientific fact. And in order to end the life of the unborn child, you have to inject potassium chloride and stop
for
it
me?
Out. Now, you can say... Sorry, Joanna, you can say, and you can keep talking over me, but I'm actually just finishing my point. What I want to say is, when a woman has a miscarriage, we're all very sympathetic for a woman who loses a baby, because we acknowledge the baby and
Excuse me, Joanna, can you just wait until I finish speaking?
So therefore, when a woman chooses to have an abortion and you're basically saying, well, that's her choice, basically, your opinion doesn't change the biology of the unborn child. The unborn child either is a life or it isn't. And if it is a life, you cannot just simply do what you want with that life.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. And stay there, please, Joanna. I want to bring Nicola in as well before we wrap this up. Sorry, Nicola, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Nicola?
Hi, Nina. How are you?
Nicola, you've heard Joanna. Basically, she's telling, Luke and Anya, they should butt out, mind their own business, and let women make choices.
Yeah, I have to agree in some circumstances. Like, I think, the fight up to the referendum was horrible to watch. And I think, the country has spoken, and I think the pro-life side need to respect the choice that's been made, and they need to respect the choices that women are making. If it had been the other way around and the pro-life side had won and the pro-choice was still fighting, they wouldn't accept that.
Sorry, Luke? That's exactly what happened in 1983. The pro-life side won and the pro-choice side fought back, and we didn't stop them.
But in saying that, that was the right to information.
Amazing.
It was a different referendum.
They fought back bit by bit. They did fight back. The fight back began straight away.
But the point is, now it's gone from the Constitution. But Luke, it's gone from the Constitution now. It's not going to change.
It is indeed. But there are other little battles that we need to fight. And I thought it was very interesting, when Joanna said there about democracy and can we not respect democracy. But, Joanna is the one defending exclusion zones, banning protests. And I think it's very interesting. I just have one more point, Niall, to make.
Well, it's not a protest. It's actually attacking women who are making a difficult decision.
Not attacking women. I don't support anyone attacking women.
But it's outside the clinic where they are going to make a difficult decision, one that they have put thought into and have had to make, and there's people outside attacking them, making that decision and making them feel uncomfortable.
No,
the people who attack women are not the place where they are going.
But unlike any other protest, Luke, you have to accept that being outside a hospital or a GP's office and accosting or talking to or manipulating a woman is disrespectful, is it not?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. I won't take part in these protests myself, and I will outright criticise them, but I support the right to protest. People should be allowed to protest even if I disagree with it. yes, exactly. That's what I have
done.
That's where I was on the 1st of January.
It's not the right place to do it.
And I did protest outside the Dáil on the 1st of January. Interestingly, I think one newspaper carried that story.
Well, can I ask Anya, by the way? So, Anya, you heard Nicola and Joanna don't disagree with protesting outside, hospitals or clinics or whatever. Do you agree with that?
I'm not going to say I'm 100% on either. Do you know that kind of way? To be honest with you, I think the likes of... crisis pregnancy centres are what are really needed for women. And
would you agree with people standing outside clinics?
I don't think somebody standing with a group with a sign that says something awful to a woman. I don't think that works, because I know as a woman who needed help at the time, if somebody had a note or had held up a clipboard saying something like maybe
murderer or whatever.
No. If somebody said, "Let me help you," that would be more effective.
But that's not what people are saying.
Be honest with you, I haven't seen any pro-life friends of mine holding any of those signs, whatever signs you're talking about. But we have to...
Oh, well, there was a protest there only a few weeks ago outside the Lourdes Hospital in Drogheda, where they had signs saying murderers.
And in Galway?
Yeah, and in Galway. What do you think? It was all over the paper.
Saying abortion is murder.
Yeah.
Well, I think people have, like, personally, that wouldn't be the route I would go down, writing that outside the hospital for people to for women to see. But I believe that was done on a Saturday, was it? Am I right? So that was more for the doctors.
No, I don't think it was done on Saturday. It was midweek because we covered it on the show. We actually had one of the protesters on the air, so it would have been midweek.
It was done on a Saturday because
it was actually the Tuesday was the first. I remember it was actually on January the 3rd, because on the January the 2nd, I believe, when the legislation came in, it was the first abortion to be carried out in Ireland.
Saturday, and I remember I wrote up about it saying, I'm not sure this is the way to go, because at the end of the day, our end goal for pro-life people is actually to help women in crisis pregnancy and to say to them, basically, I've been there.
But hang on, sorry, Nicola, go ahead.
I just don't think, you know, I agree that, yes, there should be more support available. I agree with Anya that, yes, sometimes it's the women make the wrong decision because they don't have the correct support available to them. They may regret the decision in the future. But that's not to say the same for every woman who makes her decision. And also, protesting outside the hospital isn't the way to do that.
The point for me, Nicola, the main point for me is, if you haven't watched an abortion, you should go and watch one before you decide what you support, because...
I am
horrific.
Well informed in my decision. Have you
watched an abortion, Nicola?
I know exactly.
You're aware of what happens.
I'm
okay,
aware.
Sorry, Joanna. Have you watched an abortion?
I have.
Yes, so you're aware of what happens. I think, Anya, again, you know, I think we have to take people to be reasonably intelligent. The majority of the voters, there are some people who are thick, but the majority of voters in this country, I think we're reasonably well informed. Sorry, Luke, you want to say something before
I
let you go there?
I just wanted to say something before we go to Anya there. I believe Anya mentioned earlier that she was at the Pat Kenny debate a couple of days before the referendum. I was there as well, and I just wanted to say that I thought the way Pat Kenny treated Anya on that occasion was absolutely despicable.
All right, okay.
Thank you, Luke. Thank you.
No problem.
All right, okay. I didn't watch it. I'm sorry to have to say, because there was so many debates on, and I was probably working most of the nights that they were on, so I didn't get to see them all, but I didn't see it. But stay there, please, guys, if you can. Luke, thanks for coming on. I do want to clear up that line. Lots and lots of text coming in, and the number is 087-188-0008. The question I'm asking, is it time for pro-life campaigners to stop the campaign? Because democracy has happened, it's over, the legislation is in, abortions are happening as we speak in this country, and has the war been lost, so to speak? Is it time to stop?
The Niall Boylan Show, Ireland's most listened to late night talk show, with Woodland Motor Company. Quality cars, affordable prices, no drama. WoodlandMotorCo.ie. Classic hits. The PJ and Jim After Show Podcast.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me another S.
S.
And what do you get?
Ass.
No! You get the After Show. 15 minutes of wonderful goodness that the radio never got to hear.
No, you do get ass. What he's really trying to say is you can check out the After Show on Facebook or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PJ and Jim After Show Podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Classic hits.
Here we go. The home insurance renewal bill, and surprise, surprise, it's gone up.
Change.
Beg your pardon?
Change to AIG. They're providing great savings if you are 3 years claim-free, and they're offering a special 25% discount. Here, give me the phone.
Make the change. Visit AIG.ie or call us and see how much time and money you could save.
Thank you, AIG.
Normal underwriting acceptance criteria apply. Minimum premium of €210 ex levies applies, and optional extras not included. Applies to new AIG Direct home residential customers only. Offer valid until 30th of November 2019. AIG Europe SA is authorised and supervised in Luxembourg by the Minister of Finance and the Commission of Insurance, and is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland for conduct of business rules.
This isn't just a ladder. This is a set of Styra folding attic stairs. But this is also a transportation device to a whole new world. A world of easy access storage. A world of escape. A world of, well, whatever you want it to be. And all possible thanks to the Styra folding attic stairs.
We fit them quickly and easily.
Irish owned, 35 years experience and 10-year guarantee. Visit Styra.com or call 1-850-639-639.
Measure, make, install. Styra does it all.
This sound could be one of the DJ Royale team coming to your door to tell you some good news. Good news about our monitored home alarm systems from just €499. Good news about the smartphone app that helps you control your alarm system wherever you are. And good news about affordable peace of mind and home security. So, listen out. And don't miss out. DJ Royale. Or visit djroyale.ie for details. Monthly fee and terms and conditions apply.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic
hits. All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping, and the number is 087-188-0008. Sorry, Owen, you wanted to say something very quickly there. Go ahead.
I did. Sorry, Niall. I just want to appeal to any young woman out there who is listening into your show right now. And I just want to tell them, I know what it's like to be in an awful place, whether it be mentally, emotionally, financially, in pregnancy. And I want to let you know about the wonderful Gianna Care, who are, she was asked to release tapes on Gianna Care. She mumbled them in with another crisis pregnancy centre and basically spun her own thing on it.
Okay, I'm not familiar with Gianna Care, but can you explain what it is? Just very briefly.
So Gianna Care is a crisis pregnancy centre for women who are like me, whether you are in financial...
It's in the Rotunda, is it? Yeah.
No, it's not in the Rotunda. They have. If you look them up on the website, you can find them yourself.
Okay.
It is run by volunteers. It is non-profit. They have qualified nurses, midwives, psychiatrists, everything.
And can I ask you a question? Are they pro-life?
Of course, they're pro-life. They're pro-woman as well.
Okay, would it be fair to say if they're pro-life, well, then they have a one-sided agenda, would they? Or do they tell people that abortion is available?
No, because people know abortion is available. Let's not play that game, Niall. Like, come on.
It's not a game, you know what I mean? Do they tell people that it's an option?
Well, look, you're doing your job as a chat show host. You're trying to catch me out.
I'm not trying to catch you out. I'm just telling you there isn't. To be fair,
I really want to inform women who are like me, to be honest with you, about them. They obviously they don't advise on abortion because they're not. They basically, if you have had an abortion, they will provide aftercare counselling.
Okay, well, that's a good thing.
Okay, that's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. Because they put you in touch with Rachel's Vineyard and everything else. They are absolutely amazing women, and they don't. Okay. Gain anything from what they do. It's a non-profit organisation, whether it be financial, emotional support, anything that you need. Gianna Care are absolutely brilliant. I've seen the women that they've helped, both post-abortive and obviously in crisis pregnancy.
Okay. All right, well, look, I obviously you wanted to get that in, and I'm happy you did get that in there, all right?
Thank you very much
indeed, Anya. All right, now let me go to John O'Dea. You're on Classic Hits. John, you've heard Nicola and Joanna before the break there talking about the fact that, you know, it's over. The game is up. You know, the war was lost. Democracy has happened. You know, just stop. Let women make choices. They're not stupid.
Well, look, as Luke said, the last time around 35 years ago, the other side didn't go away. So why should we go away? If Donald Trump gets...
It's very different now, John. You know, the referendum has happened now.
Yeah, but you see, that just because it happened doesn't mean, you see, it's gone to the Constitution, you're quite right. But that doesn't mean that it can't be legislated. I mean, always, as Isabella said, at the moment, Donald Trump, if he gets one or two more conservative judges in the Supreme Court, you can kiss goodbye to Roe versus Wade, and most of the states will outlaw abortion, right? That's why...
I don't think that'll happen. Well, right? Either way, we're not living in America, we're living in Ireland.
No. No, I mean, the person that kicked it off first, I said, like, I mean, that, like, get on, this is really there. Like, to me, they have sold out. I will never sell out, like, on this, like, I will never accept it. I mean, I know it's law, the whole lot, but I will never accept it.
Well, then you're not accepting...
You can't accept democracy.
No, wait, don't you talk about democracy at all. I listen to you there now, so please be quiet and let me have my say.
Oh, my.
The thing is, look, we know what that laugh is about, aren't we? There was a priest on the Late Late Show on Friday night.
By the way, we had him on as a guest 3 weeks before that, talking about exorcisms. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. No, he made a point. Right?
They stole our guest, actually.
They probably did. Evil is stalking the land, right? No, whatever you think now about being a Catholic or being whatever religion you are, there is such a thing, an entity as evil, right? Because you just go through history, Stalin, Hitler, Mao Zedong, all these people, right? I mean, 66.4%, right, took a conscious decision to go out and vote, and they knew in their heart and soul what they were doing. They were voting but to take away the rights, the life of the unborn child. They were voting for the murder of unborn
children. But a lot of them didn't look at it like that. A lot of people looked at it, they were voting for the rights for women.
You had some dumbasses on your show there, right? And they said that they didn't. There was one clown on.
I remember him.
Yeah.
And his right to vote should have been taken away from him because he had no idea what he was even voting for. But sorry, Nicola, you heard what John said. You know, the fight is not going to stop. It's going to keep going on because 67% or 66.4% of people voted in this country for the right to murder a child.
Like, obviously, I appreciate your opinion and that you have the right to have that opinion and you have the right to disagree. But I think, you know, it's available to women. Women who want to avail of the service should have the right to do that without feeling unsafe or attacked or, you know, that there's going to be these protests outside attacking them, waiting for them. I think it's 100% okay that you don't agree with it.
Surely the most natural state in the world for a woman, she's genetically engineered to get pregnant in the first place.
She's not an
angry man. Okay, as a man, I don't think that you have the right to talk about how we are genetically engineered to carry a baby. You know.
John, you're speaking about women like they're some sort of incubators.
Let's be honest, I can't have a child. Exactly. You can't have a child now, right?
But I'm not a woman.
Yeah, but hang on a second. But her whole...
Mind you, I do have to impregnate a woman for her to get pregnant in the first place. Not me personally, obviously.
For a woman to actually be able to give life in the first place, like, I mean, to actually conceive, like, and become pregnant, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And then to actually...
John, I don't need a biology lesson.
I know, but somebody out there probably listening does. The thing is that, I mean, for then to that woman to go along, right, and to actually take the life of her own living orgasm inside...
Organism.
I always get those two mixed up. But seriously, for a woman to go along, take the life...
Say that again, Joanna.
Are we going to cry for the possible baby every time a man masturbates? I just want to know.
Well, you see, you can't compare like with like. Masturbation, I mean, it's different. A man can masturbate.
But you can compare women. With incubators.
The man has, I'll have to give you another biology lesson because a man has impregnated the woman, right? And the woman is now pregnant. And therefore, she goes along and she takes that life then. That life that she's growing inside now.
Okay, I want Nicola just to respond to what you said. I mean, Nicola, John obviously believes that women, you know, they're designed to have babies and
purpose we're there for.
Yeah, you have no right to kill that living organism, as he said, or organism. I mean, you do have that right under law. I mean, the argument during the referendum, I suppose, Nicola, was, is it a women's rights issue or is it a right for the unborn child?
Like, I think, obviously, even like myself, it's still a hard, morally, it's still something that isn't, I don't...
Yeah, nobody wants to have an abortion, yes.
But I think in the specific circumstance, you have to take into account what is happening with the woman. I think, like, I admire Anya for continuing with her pregnancy and for getting through it, but that's not to say that every other woman would have survived, would have been able to carry on, would have been able to deal with all of what was happening from the pregnancy. And I think, you know, women should, if it is a pregnancy that they're not able for, that there's something else going on, mental health issues, we all know how big of an issue that is now. You know, I think all those things need to be taken into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, now you had a woman on earlier on there, and she was eulogising, right? No, she's not on the other, but she was eulogising her granddaughter, right? Her beautiful, lovely granddaughter.
And yep,
I'm delighted that she had a beautiful, adorable, gorgeous, lovely granddaughter. But after admiring and holding her granddaughter in her arms then, she went out then and voted for to kill the exact same type of individual.
Well, that's not... But again, you're missing the point, John. That's your opinion, and that's fine. That's grand.
Well,
you're
it's a fact.
Yeah, but hang on. Yeah, but a lot of people, when they voted yes, didn't think that way. The way they were thinking was, I'm voting to give women a right to choose. It might be something I don't necessarily agree with, but I'm giving them the right to make that decision themselves.
That'll tell you, like, what a bunch of dumbasses are voting.
Well, now you're saying the majority of the population in the country are dumb. So what? You're special, John, and you're a lot more intelligent than everybody else.
The guy that was on your show, that is, like, so the reason
that
we...
Don't keep bringing that asshole up, because, I mean, he hadn't a clue what he was voting for. He voted yes, and he didn't even realise what he was voting for.
There's thousands of assholes that came out there, you see.
Yeah, but John, I agree with you. That man doesn't deserve the right to vote. He didn't know what he was actually voting for. He came on the air, for those who don't remember that, by the way, we had a guy come on the air the week after abortion, and said he voted yes. And I said, so are you okay with a woman having an abortion up to 12 weeks? Oh, I didn't know what that was about.
A dumbass.
Yeah, it's just, And I said, who didn't know? And he said, I didn't see that printed anywhere. All right. So, yeah, he was an idiot. But, okay, we'll stay there for a second. Please stay there, John. Okay, Joanna, I mean, you've heard what John has said. A lot of people
John
still...
Yeah, go on. Would be the type of person that would agree with the Handmaid's Tale.
The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Where human are incubators have absolutely...
You do realize that was a work
no
of fiction.
No, right.
You do realize that was a work of fiction.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it is a work of fiction, but for some people like you,
it's fiction.
You feel like that.
You can't tell the difference between fiction and reality, obviously.
That's not what she's saying.
Other
she's
people
saying that you would agree with it.
Tale is a fictitious tale. It's not real. It's a theory just made for television. It is not the truth.
Listen.
I've just had said in my ear. Now I just said it was on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
And Helene has just said in my ear it wasn't on Netflix. Was it on Netflix? It was on Netflix.
It was on RT2, I think, as well. Yeah.
It was on
TV3. Mind you,
Helene did say it was only a book.
The most depressing show you could ever look at. I watched about 2 episodes and I said, Jesus Christ, you'd hang yourself after looking at it.
It wouldn't be my cup of tea. But the point is, John, Joanna's making a clear point, and Nicola, that women are not incubators. I understand your view about the unborn child. Yes, I think I agree. It is kind of morally sad. But in saying that, you know, I also understand the point that a woman might be in a situation where that's also equally as sad when she can't deal with something like that.
Well, no matter what sadness, I mean, she's going through, and there should be all the help out there should be rolled out for these people, like, and the protection of life there, the suicidation that time there. I mean, that was part of that deal, that the woman presents herself and she was supposed to get help, right? But I mean, suicidation is not a reason for getting an abortion. Whatever circumstances a woman's going through, she should get all this help that the state can throw at her and the taxpayers pay for to look after her. And if she doesn't want that child, she can hand the child up for adoption and the state should help in every way.
But have you no appreciation for the difficulty of carrying a child for 9 months if you're not in a state to do that? She still has to carry the child to term and then deal with all the trauma of that. It's not just about, oh, sure, shove it into your incubator there for 9 months and then sure, it'll be gone, you can get rid of it, you'll be fine, carry on.
But sure, the thing is, I mean, like, you're responsible for the life that's growing inside you, right, I mean, let's be honest. And if you have any compassion at all, you will allow that to carry on. And if you don't want to be a mother to that child, there will be people queuing up from here to Timbuktu to take it.
But what about compassion for everything that goes on during the 9 months,
exactly,
or the mental state of the woman or what she's going through? And yes, suicide is a scary, every help and every service,
John, but in your opinion, as long as that help and service doesn't involve abortion.
Let's be honest, like, I mean, killing a child is not a reason.
Your
like,
compassion is hypocritical.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, well, hang on. Magella, just finally, Magella, you're on Classic Hits. How do you, Magella?
Yeah, hi, and it's the same old arguments over and over again, but I would firmly side with Jan on this. But I very much appreciate Nicola's calm and respectful way of debating the issue. You know, I've no time for people who become offensive and who start laughing and sneering like Joanna. I wouldn't even contemplate speaking to her about anything. But I certainly see, you know, the 9 months, Nicola, just to get back to your point, the 9 months would be very difficult for someone who's very, very unhappy about being in a pregnancy. The only thing I would say is the 9 months will pass. If she aborts the baby, that's it.
Magella, can I ask the question that I opened with tonight and the reason we're discussing it? Obviously, in relation to protest groups and exclusion zones and all this sort of carry-on that's been talked about recently. Yeah. Do you believe it's time, because we got a message in from somebody today who said they were a pro-life campaigner, but they believe game is up, it's over. You know, it's a bitter pill to swallow.
Never
the legislation is in. You know, is it time protesters just accepted it and said, this is democracy?
I'm not so sure about the protesting, and I'm not so sure about, making people feel uncomfortable if they have made that decision. But I will never, ever, ever accept that this was the right decision. Until the day I draw my last breath, this was never, ever, ever to me the right decision by 67% of our people. I don't know why 67% of people in this country decided that it was okay ever to end life of a human being. I would never accept that.
I agree.
And you never have to accept it, Magella, but in saying that, do you have to accept democracy that other people have accepted it?
Of course, I've no choice. What choice do I have?
Well, you don't have a choice, no.
You know, you don't have a choice. You can live with it. Mm. But I'll never I will never, ever stop condemning it. And I will not condemn the people who find themselves, you know, I had such respect for Anya, and she was so refreshing, and it was so consoling and uplifting to hear someone make the point she made, who was so honest about...
But she was pro-life, so of course you supported what she said, yes.
Of course she was, but you know something...
But you equally respect Nicola's... I know you don't respect Joanna's point of view, but do you respect Nicola's point of view?
I respect the manner in which she conducts herself. You know, by and large, pro-choice people are very angry and very offensive. And when you say...
I've heard some very offensive people on pro-life side as well.
People. Maybe you have, but I'm not one of them.
I mean, I think it's quite offensive when the word murder is used on a regular basis.
But, I mean, Niall, I'm sorry now, but that's exactly, regardless of how you, and it's an emotive term, possibly, but there are the facts. That's actually what happens.
I mean, let me just ask Nicola that. Sorry, just Nicola, in relation to the term murder, which is used on a regular basis by pro-life people, including John, who's on the air, do you find that word acceptable, or do you believe it carries the stigma on for people who've had abortions?
I think it's a very aggressive word. I think it's, you know, it draws the attention, it creates an aggressive point, but I don't think it's fair to use it. I think, you know... I know we've all the scientifics, you know, it's embryo, then it's a baby and it can survive, it can't survive and things like that. But I think you're looking at the life of the woman versus the life of the child that requires the woman to move on, to grow. And if that woman can't...
But not every abortion, you know, is a risk to life to the mother. Actually, very few would be a risk to life to the mother.
Yeah. I just think it's a very aggressive word.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's
unfortunately,
but it's the truth. I'm sorry, but it is the truth. There's a baby there, there's a heart there, and then I'm not really engaging with you, sorry. There is a heartbeat there.
You don't have to engage with me. I am here, and I have the right to my opinion.
Hang on. With respect, you know, Magella, Nicola, or Joanna, although you might not like her approach, she does have the right to opinion. Sorry, Joanna, you want to say something, Magella, respectfully?
Just because Magella thinks for her, is murder, and she's free to believe whatever she wants.
Well, thank you.
Her own opinion. That doesn't mean that everyone else thinks like that.
Well, that's true.
And the life of a woman, of a grown adult woman that can think, is more important of a possible baby.
Okay, well, just one more point by Magella, because I have to wrap it up. Sorry, Magella, I'll let you say the last word.
To be honest, I think any woman that reaches that decision has not had all the options made available to her. I honestly don't think any woman that has had an abortion can go on and honestly say, I made the right decision. I'm sure you're wrong, Magella.
I've spoke to many women during the campaign, and I just sort of have to add this before we finish. I spoke to many women during the campaign who had abortions and some who did regret it, but I spoke to many women who had abortions and don't regret it and believe it was the best decision
made. They have to say that, don't they?
Well, they don't have to say anything.
Nicola, they don't have to say anything.
To be fair, Magella, there's many women who had abortions and have absolutely zero regrets. And a girl in the studio here that had two abortions.
I don't believe that.
And I think you need to respect that a woman is not lying, that she is comfortable with her decision, and she is okay to admit that she is happy with her decision.
It's awfully sad that someone would end up saying, I'm happy that I ended the life.
Okay, happy is probably the wrong word.
I don't think anybody used the word happy, in fairness.
No, but I think that she was comfortable and felt just.
I don't think anyone is ever, Magella, going to use the word I'm delighted to go and have an abortion or happy about it. But I think people believe, sometimes women believe themselves and genuinely believe it was the right decision at that time in their life.
I don't think it's ever the right decision at any time in anybody's life. And that's, I'm afraid, where we have to agree to disagree now.
Well, I think it's totally fair for you to...
You're sorry, Nicola?
No, I think it's completely fair for Magella to not agree with this.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, she has the choice to not get an abortion, to not be involved with anything about it. But exactly. I think she still needs to, you know, understand that there may come a time, there is a time when certain women need to take that option, and that they are intelligent enough, they can trust in their own bodies to make that decision for them.
Okay, listen, thank you very much, David, Jella and Nicolette. I appreciate you both coming on the air. After the break, we're going to lighten the mood. The girlies are in the studio.
Hello.
Two ladies, actually.
Hello. Girlies. Yeah, exactly. Ladies.
I mean, is that disrespectful to call you girlies?
Ah, no. I'm okay with being a girly.
You both, it would be fair to say you've both voted yes in the referendum, did you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No qualms about saying that.
Okay, and do you think it's time for the protest to stop? Do you think people should just accept democracy?
I understand that people are not happy with it. I can see both sides. I can see when people bring up the 1983 vote and how, you know, the pro-choice side didn't stop. I understand their point. The one thing I always come back to is if you're not in favour of abortion, just don't have one. You know, no one's forcing you to have one. My issue with the way it was before was that if you didn't want to have an abortion, you didn't have to. But mm-hmm. if you wanted to, you were told you couldn't. And it was, for me, it was genuinely all about choice. And I've often said, and this may sound hypocritical,
but that's not new to you, Helena.
It's not new to me, but I'll accept that this may sound hypocritical. I don't think if I got pregnant now, and even if it was like, you know, I'm in the middle of a career, I don't mm-hmm. think it would be ideal for me at the moment. If I got pregnant, I don't think I would have an abortion. And I know that sounds hypocritical.
I don't think you would.
No, and I know that sounds hypocritical saying that I'm all for choice, but my main thing is if somebody, you know, sitting next to me, I'm not talking about Ashley, but I'm just saying somebody in the same room as me, whatever. No, if somebody in the same room as me was in my exact situation and wanted an abortion, who am I to tell them no?
Would you, Ashley?
I think, no, I definitely, what Alina said, I definitely agree with. And I also think, Steph, I've seen friends in, you know, situations with crisis pregnancies where they have travelled over to England. And the worst thing is when they came back here, there was no services available to them.
Those girls that you know that went to England,
mm-hmm.
do they have regrets?
Yeah, massively. But I think the fact that they have the regret, one girl in particular, she has so much regret because when she came back here, she regressed so much and she thought to herself, you know, she had no service. She had no one there to provide her with, you know.
But did she regret having the abortion?
Well, yes, she does. But
because she had no counselling.
But yeah, I do. I think if she had counselling, I think if they, like a bereavement counselling as such, she would have been able to deal with it a lot better and she'd be more equipped to deal with it. Because at the time, would she have been able to have a baby? No, she probably would have been, wouldn't have been in a great place. Having a child probably would, you know, being young and all the rest of it. But I think the fact that, like Helena said, I would myself, if I was to get pregnant tomorrow, I don't think I'd have an abortion, but I voted yes because I believe that I don't dictate what other women should do and I believe there should be
a
choice.
Is it funny that everybody says that?
No, I don't think it's funny that everyone says that.
I wouldn't have an abortion myself. I don't want to tell anyone else.
No, it doesn't.
Everybody I hear it says that.
Yeah, but I don't think it's funny that people say that. And the reason why I don't is because it's not a black and white situation. One thing that always annoyed me throughout the referendum, and we couldn't say anything because we were not. I used to be sitting outside there screaming in the window at things I wanted to say.
And you were telling me to say them for you.
You're saying these things for me.
Ask like, her this! Yeah, ask like, her that!
One thing that really bugged me about it was the people forgot the aspect of nobody wants.
We nearly fell out, actually.
We did many times over this.
Helena. This is probably the only time in 8 years that we've ever fell out.
Really disagreed on something. But my thing was, everyone seemed to think, you know, pro-choice were like, yes, let's have an abortion.
Yeah, let's go now, willy-nilly.
Nobody.
There was a few.
No, look, I mean,
there was a few. We had a few nut jobs on the air that wanted abortion.
From both sides.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But we had a few nut jobs on the air that wanted abortion up to 40 weeks.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think most people didn't agree with that. Okay, you're going to have the anecdotal people out there who will. But what I'm trying to say is, throughout the whole thing, it was always seen as pro-choice or pro-abortion. And I hated that line because I don't believe anybody is pro-abortion. Pro-choice, it's there in the word. You know what I mean? It's there for you to decipher it how you want to. People were pro giving somebody a choice because there were so many.
But it was pro-abortion.
No, it's not pro-abortion.
It is because you're allowing abortion.
Yes, you're allowing it, but you're not saying everyone have an abortion. But pro-life is saying everyone should not have an abortion.
But if everybody like you, I mean, a lot of people I talked to were like you, they just wanted choice, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't want to do it themselves. Who's actually having abortions?
This is my point. It's minimalistic. The amount of people, it's people are doing it in situations where they have no other choice.
It'll be interesting to see next year.
It will be interesting. Mm-hmm. But you know why, Niall? There will obviously be a rise. Because you won't have women flying to Liverpool or wherever they're going to have an abortion. You're not going to have that. So obviously you're going to see a rise over the next 5 to 10 years.
No, I mean, they said there was 3,000 people travelling to the UK, right? a year at the time.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, will it be suddenly 6,000 abortions?
I believe it probably will rise, and it probably will rise because people have...
Well, then does that not actually hold the argument of pro-life at the time if you allow abortion, more people will actually do it?
No, it doesn't, because it's the same argument that was said for many other things over, you know, I don't want to compare it to
gay marriage. Suddenly men are going to be gay.
Yeah, there was this argument going around at the time of that referendum that everyone's going to get married. What are we going to do? The population, all these crazy arguments
were
going around.
Things.
Irrational things. And I think it is definitely going to rise because there's going to be more women with more options.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you would have maybe had situations where women went through the pregnancies because they didn't have the money to go to England or they didn't. And look, that's just the fact of life, that I think it is going to happen. I don't necessarily believe it's a bad thing. But back to what I was saying about the pro-abortion thing, I just want to finish that point, is everyone just assumed that everyone wanted to have an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
That's why my argument in saying, while it does sound hypocritical, me saying, I don't want an abortion, but if the option is there for me. And it was for me, it was mainly that everyone said the hard cases. Those things stuck in my mind. I don't believe somebody who gets pregnant and...
Then why didn't we just have a referendum about the hard cases, if that was possible?
Because it wasn't possible.
Yeah, but I'm just saying to you, if that was possible, would you have been happy with that?
Yeah, I think I would have been happy with that. Okay. But I do believe, though, that it was impossible. Because
okay, but if it was possible, you would have been happy with that. You would have been happy with just abortion for the hard cases, if theoretically it was possible, that it wouldn't be available just for anyone to go in up to 12 weeks and have an abortion.
No, I actually don't. No. I take it back. I don't. And I'll tell you why. No, let me explain
myself.
I do retract that, because let me explain myself, Niall. I believe... It all comes down to individual. Niall, will you stop interrupting?
I'm just saying, because
you keep interrupting.
Yeah, really. You just said it's not about the hard cases. You said I voted yes for them all. I want them all.
I never said that once. But you're paraphrasing.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is everyone's situation is different. So you've got the hard cases. You've got the situation of fetal abnormality. You've got all those situations, and they were the ones that did push me more to pro-choice. They were the ones that pushed me more to pro-choice. Because
they're 1%.
Let me explain this, because I've seen women in those situations.
Absolutely, and so have I.
So everyone says, don't bring emotion into it. You have to bring, because we're human beings.
And I agree with you.
So I've seen people in those situations.
And you know the majority of no voters actually agree with you. The majority of no voters actually agree with you.
I have also seen people in with very different situations where they don't have a crisis. Well, they have a crisis, but they don't have a hard case pregnancy, the fetal abnormality. They are young girls, aged 17, 18, mm-hmm. 19, who were in a bad situation, had maybe gone off the rails a little bit. And look, fair enough, you're going to say that that's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. But I've seen them travel to England. I have seen them come back. And while they don't regret their abortions, they're traumatised from the experience. And I think why... kind of have this argument of not in my back door, you know, my back garden, not near me, but you can do it over in England.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.